What is going on, Badger fans? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Badgers. We're going to get into your thoughts, comments, discussion points today, including should Wisconsin be a 23 title dark horse contender? We're going to talk about that and more on today's Locked On Badgers. Let's go on Wisconsin.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's going on, Badger fans? Welcome to Locked On Badgers. I'm your host, Ryan Herrings. We are here to cover your team every single day. So good morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you're listening to this. Really do appreciate y'all, as always, for tuning into the show and really helping build this Badger community. It's awesome. And this thing wouldn't be what it is without y'all listening and commenting. And one of the things we're trying to do more of is get to be more of your comments. So we're going to do a lot more morning shows and just responding to your comments, because I think there's a ton of great discussion points that come out of the Discord, the YouTube, the Twitter. So we're going to get into it. Let's start here. I want to start with a comment from L. Ferrari, who says, talk about why Wisconsin could be a dark horse team for 2023. So dark horse team, I assume he means dark horse team to win the Big Ten and maybe even make more noise. So Ferrari, first of all, thanks for the comment. They're a dark horse team because they have a quarterback. Right. If you want to talk about the projection and the upside, you have a quarterback now, and the quarterback is the great equalizer. You have a quarterback with weapons. You have a young offensive line that should really continue to be coming into its own. And you have weapons on the outside. You have a coaching staff that has proven they can get, at least the head coach has proven they get to the playoffs. So if you want to talk about Wisconsin in that light, I think you can make the I don't think they're going to win the Big Ten. I think there's growing pains. But if you want to talk about why this could be a potential dark horse team, you can now check the very single most important box in the football world, and that is, do you have a quarterback, yes or no? And for so many years, Wisconsin has had to check that no box and try to make up for it by checking every other box on the test. If you can check the yes box at quarterback, you don't need yeses everywhere else to be a playoff team, to win the Big Ten. Right. You need still need some luck. You need some injury luck. You need this thing to come together really quickly. You need to avoid some of the growing pains that I think will probably happen. But yeah, dark horse contender, sure. You have a quarterback. And I'm telling you, as long as you have a quarterback, and maybe you don't believe in Tanner Mordecai is that guy, I think he probably can be surrounded by the right type of talent, which I think he will be in Madison. But if you believe he can be that type of quarterback at the college level, then yeah, you have a puncher's chance to win just about every game. So yeah, if we're starting with dark horse talk, dark horse contention, why don't we start right there? You have the quarterback. Thanks for the comment, man. Greg Lincecum says, any word on where PC, other assistants are doing now, where they've headed off to? Still nothing on Jim Leonard, which I think is the most fascinating one to see where he might end up, where he might land. I imagine he probably just takes a year off and snipes off a cherry position somewhere if he wants to. Nothing on Paul Chryst. Bobby April did land at Stanford. He's the defensive coordinator. Hank Poteet landed at Iowa State to coach their defensive backs. Still waiting for the most part on the offensive side. Bob Bosted did land a job as an offensive line coach. Nothing we've heard on Al Johnson. Nothing we've heard, at least that I've seen, on Ingram. So we're still waiting. Nothing on D'Onofrio, the inside linebackers coach that I've seen. So a lot of spots that we're still waiting on. Most of I wonder, and this is kind of the, it does make you feel bad, right, for a guy like Al Johnson, who left a head coaching job at the D2 level, came to Madison to really coach in his dream opportunity, at least his dream university. And after 1 year, he's out of a job again. And you got to wonder, I'm sure he can't go back and get his D2 job back, right? Like Paul Chryst certainly didn't hire him to, I'm not even going to use the word screw him over. That's the wrong word. Certainly didn't hire him with the intention of this happening, but in a way he kind of got the raw end of this deal. So that's the coaching world. He got paid a lot of money for the year he was here, but there's still a humanity element involved in it. It's unfortunate. Thank you for the comment, Greg. There's a comment here. Bob Getcht says, I believe there's a need for an upgrade to the strength and conditioning program. When the Badgers were rolling, they were stronger in the second half of football games. Thank you, Bob, for the comment. Yes, they were. There were teams that would talk about how physical it was playing Wisconsin, and the result the following week, how beat up they were. And I think we lost that physical edge. And I don't know if it was Ross Kalaji moving over. I feel like him going to defensive line, he was a good defensive line coach, but he might have been a better strength and conditioning coach. And we might have lost some of that edge when we lost Kalaji in that strength and conditioning room. Because we did lose that physical nastiness. And people talked about it. Jim Leonard kind of talked about it. We've lost that developmental aspect. And some of that has to be strength and conditioning, Bob. So I agree. Now, the good news is you mentioned they need to upgrade the strength and conditioning program. They're bringing in a dude named Brady Collins from Cincinnati. That dude is a strength and conditioning upgrade. Like we have been told, I was talking to a Cincinnati guy, and he said, Brady Collins is Luke Fickell's secret weapon. I mean, this guy comes over, this cat comes over, very, very highly regarded. He's innovative in the strength and conditioning world. He's enthusiastic. I think Badger fans are going to love him. So he's coming over. So I think they are upgrading that strength and conditioning program, Bob. And I think that's going to be a big part of what Luke Fickell builds here. It's going to be a part of that core of Wisconsin development. Brad Cunningham says Nebraska is really starting to pick it up. They might be a tough team to beat next year. Now, I would say two things. First, Nebraska has won, and I joke about this, but it's also kind of true. Nebraska has won the title of best offseason, at least in the Big Ten West, for like 5 years, right? Going back to when Scott Frost was here, they were bringing in dynamic athletes, highly regarded skill players, four-star receivers, and it never translated, right? It never translated for Nebraska. I don't think it's a quick fix there, but the flip side of it, and I've talked about this, I really like the hiring of Matt Rhule for them. I think he's going to rebuild the trenches where they've been soft for a long time. They did pick up some really good talent in the transfer portal. Elijah Judy was a defensive lineman from Texas A&M. Wisconsin was kind of in on for a while. That's a four-star talent. They just picked up a big-time tight end who was a five-star kid coming out of high school in the 2020 class. They picked him up today, I believe. He's a previous LSU guy, among other places. They did have a receiver come in as well. They've done really well in the portal this year. So quarterback Jeff Sims is another one. We talked to John Garcia Jr. about Jeff Sims. He thinks Jeff Sims may have the highest upside of any of the Big Ten transfer quarterbacks coming in this year. So, yeah, Nebraska did well. I like their new coach. I still think they're a little ways away. They have to rebuild that culture and that program there much more than Luke Fickell has to do at Wisconsin. Luke Fickell at Wisconsin is not having to rebuild and relay the foundation. Right, the foundation at Wisconsin is strong. The bones are strong. It's like a house built in the 20s. They used real 2x4s. The foundation at Nebraska, it's kind of like a dirt foundation, right? They didn't put the cement down. They didn't dig out a basement. Rhule has more work to do there. But I do think they have a pretty good offseason. Gus Paccio says, how on earth did Chris McIntosh approve those hideous uniforms? He and guard should absolutely be ashamed of themselves for allowing a Wisconsin team to wear that garbage. I got to be honest, Gus, I could be alone on this. Let me know in the comments when you get this. I kind of like them. I like the look of them. And Gus is referring to the black uniforms Wisconsin basketball wore against Penn State. They had the kind of the gold accent. They looked a little Chicago Bulls-ish to me, but I like them. But I could be wrong, Gus. That's the beauty of this channel, man. We're here for all opinions and all thoughts as long as they're respectful. I could be wrong. Let me know in the comments if you like them. Here's the thing with alternate uniforms. I like them in sample sizes, small sample sizes, right? Like if that's what Wisconsin tried to wear 3 or 4 times in a row, I probably don't like it as much. But for a one-off, once or twice a year, I thought the look was nice. And I think it appeals to kids. So I'm kind of here for that as well. That's just my take on that. Coming up, we got a bunch more comments we're getting to, but really quick, I do want to bring up friends of our show. Today's show is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline is the number one source that we go to for all your sports betting needs, all your sports betting information. It is a bedrock of the industry, the easiest place that we have found to do live in-game betting, futures betting, the latest odds, trends, and lines for every professional amateur league out there. And it's the fast and easiest way to get all your betting info. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn more. Bet online where the game starts. Today's show is also brought to you by Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want all the fat, all the calories, you got to try Built Bar. We just got through the holidays. I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. If you're like me, when you want to eat a little healthier, but you don't want to sacrifice flavor, right? That's really important to not feel like you're eating cardboard as you're trying to get healthier. Built Bar is the number one place, number one way I've done that. Has all your favorite flavors. Some of my favorites include churro, double chocolate, coconut puffs. And you can go to Walmart today, pick up a 4-bar box in their pharmacy aisle, or go to Sam's Club, get a 13-bar box of our hit flavors. You can thank me later, Built Bar. It's going to be the fastest and simplest way to improve your nutrition for 2023. All right, I want to thank everybody again for tuning in. This is a small show, but I'm trying to experiment with ways to get more of your comments and more of your thoughts into the show. So that's what I'm trying to do here. And I really do appreciate everybody tuning in. If you like the show, hit the subscribe button. It really helps us out. All right, let's get to some more of these comments here. We talked about this one. LaVie Smith, who was on the show last summer, Ohio State fan, said, "Fick is bringing that Buckeye swag, baby. Watch out, Wisconsin. Watch out big. Wisconsin will be a monster." I'm using a slightly different word because I got to be careful on air. But LaVie, thank you for the comment. We get a lot of this now. We didn't get a lot of when Paul Chryst was the head coach. And again, this is not trying to, it's not trying to make Paul Chryst out to be the villain here, because he's certainly not that. But we didn't get a lot of Ohio State fans saying, "Man, I think Wisconsin's going to be really good going forward." Fickell brings a different level. Energy is a given, right? But he brings a different level of credibility to Madison. We'll have to see how it plays out on the weekend. We'll have to see how this all works. But he brings a level of credibility that it's not just that Chryst necessarily didn't bring, but that a lot of coaches won't bring. There's not many coaches out there that bring this level of credibility. So you start seeing other Big Ten fan bases and programs chime in and say, "Yeah, that's a great hire and we hate it." Right. I was listening to a Minnesota clip. They were interviewing a former Minnesota player, and they asked him in the interview about the hiring of Luke Fickell. And he's like, "Yeah, I hated it. Why couldn't they hire Gary Anderson again? Like, Fickell's awesome, and I hate that they got him." So there's a level of animosity / envy among fellow Big Ten fan bases over this hiring, which should tell you it's probably a pretty good hiring. Kurt brings up a comment. "Where would we be next season without the portal? I didn't like it at first for continuity of programs, but it does help players find a good match." Yeah, like, that's a really interesting question, because if you don't have the portal, or even if it's the portal in a more limited traditional sense where a player has to be a grad transfer to move or whatever that is, you know, and you're bringing in a new coach that wants to implement a new system, like, it takes you 2 years to rebuild, right? Like, next year, a quarterback battle would be Cole Lacrew and Miles Burkett, both players I like, but you're not going to be able to bring in probably that experienced starter, or the competition for those experienced starters would be much, much more fierce. And it's going to take you a couple of years to rebuild the program into the image of a new coach, a new system. At that point, that new coach and that new system might already be on thin ice because they haven't been able to bring in the players. I heard someone talking about on a podcast, I forget where I heard this, but they were talking about, oh no, it was in one of our YouTube comments, actually. I wish I could remember who said it, but he was saying, imagine if Rich Rod at Michigan had the portal. Right. And instead of taking years to try to transition into his offense and his flavor of defense, if he could have hit that right away, who knows? Who knows how many coaches would have been successful if they could have hit a portal like Phil Longo and Luke Fickell did to rebuild the roster into the image and system that they want to immediately. It's a very interesting conversation. So, Kurt, thank you for that. I'm very interested. I don't know. I don't know exactly what would happen. I know this process is accelerated because of the portal, and I'm all here for it. Paul Buckeye says, "What's up, Badger fans? Nice having a great school and great coaching staff as you do now. Luke Fickell is going full throttle, getting your Badgers in the Big Ten championship." Yeah, just another Buckeyes fan. Like, now, certainly he's a former Buckeye, so there's some Ohio State loyalty there. But like, this is a big time hire, and I think you continue to see observations from outside of the sphere of Wisconsin fandom and journalism that talk about how big of a hire this is for Wisconsin and how excited we should be. Rio C said, "If you watched any UNC football last year, Longo did use 2 and 3 tight end sets." Appreciate that, Rio. So we were talking on a previous show about tight end, about how maybe it's not quite deep enough. And I mentioned, I don't think they'll take the beating that they took at Wisconsin with Longo. But Rio's bringing up that Longo used those 2 and 3 tight end sets as well. Now, that UNC team was pretty deep at tight end. So I think Longo's just going to use the personnel available to him, which I think is one of the best compliments you can give a coach, right? He is able to use the personnel available to him. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of 2 or 3 tight ends, probably definitely not 3 tight end sets at Wisconsin, just because I don't know if the depth at that position is the strength. But no, Rio, I appreciate it, man. Thank you for bringing up the great insight. A couple more here. Oh, Kamadon Clink, speaking of tight ends, we've been talking a lot about Kane Barong, the Notre Dame transfer. He committed to play for Coastal Carolina just like 20 minutes ago. So, Kamadon, thank you for the comment. Yeah, Coastal Carolina, who knows? All right, they have a quarterback there for sure. Maybe the interest wasn't as high as was reported, or maybe he just found a fit both academically and athletically and socially at Coastal Carolina that fit for him. Who knows, right? Kids go to places for a lot of reasons, especially in this era of college football. But yeah, he's definitely a player that we were on, that we were talking about, that we were excited about potentially getting into Madison. So he will not be bolstering the tight end depth in Wisconsin at Wisconsin, unfortunately. I want to finish with this comment here. And the comment was too long to fit into my screen, but it was essentially about Greg Gard or about Paul Christ. And did he inherit a really good position? And was he just kind of riding off the coattails of that Wisconsin program? Or did he have to kind of rebuild it and bring it to new heights post Gary Anderson? Let me know in the comments what you think about this, because I think the traditional thought is Gary Anderson was nosediving the program. Paul Christ came in, rescued it, and then kind of lost it. I'm not sure if that's completely accurate, in my opinion. Like, I think there were a lot of good players. Gary Anderson recruited a lot of good players, and a lot of those players formed the backbone of some of Paul Christ's best teams. Now, listen, Gary Anderson has his own issues. He was not a long-term answer at Wisconsin. I'm not pretending to say that. But he did set up Paul Christ with the defense, with Dave Aranda, with the 3-4, and with a lot of players, again, that would go on to form the backbone of Paul Christ's best team. So I think the idea, and this is only where my opinion's taken over, so please let me know if you think I'm wrong. I think the idea that Paul Christ came in, had nothing to work with because Gary Anderson was destroying the program and Paul Christ had to resurrect it, I think is a little revisionist. I think Paul Christ did a really good job his first several years. The win-loss record reflects that. He certainly rebuilt in-state relationships. But there was a lot there that he was able to leverage, right, with the Wisconsin Foundation and that defense that Gary Anderson left. I think it's an interesting conversation. I might dive into that one more at some point. But those were all the comments I had today that I picked out. I'm hoping to do just more of these smaller shows just to get through more of your comments and get them up in the show, because I really, really do appreciate everybody who leaves a comment. And I always strive to read every single one of them and reply to them as many as possible, time willing. So I'm going to do more shows like this, I think, as well. Thank you so much for tuning in to Locked On Badgers. Make this your first listen every day if you can. Really do appreciate it. On Wisconsin, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.